Welcome to Musings with me at Butterfly Effect with Lisa. May this generate conscious thinking and discussion for those you love and care about. So in this episode, I'm musing on taking action, or you could also say, just bloody do it. I heard in a program I went to late last year called Motivate for Boys with Rev. Rev runs a program called Motivate for Boys, and he also runs one for girls, and it was really awesome. And I will share the link down below if you are interested in going to one of those programs. He runs them between New Zealand and Australia, so and all over the show. It was really good. So Rev spoke of hope not being a strategy or a solution. And I really felt this click somewhere in my being. It really resonated for me. It sat with me so much that I actually jotted it down in my notes so that I could think about it later. And that way I didn't track off on that thought instead of actually listening to the rest of the session. And there's a tip, by the way. If you write down that thought or that idea, you can just come back to it later and you can carry on with where you're supposed to be at instead of like off with the fairies going to wherever you're thinking. And anyway, this is what I came up with. Hope is not the strategy or solution, but it is the first step out of despair or anger or whatever low-level emotion. So if we were to put them on a scale, so if we think of like joy and love and all that kind of stuff is up here, and then despair and anger and resentment is further down. So just low level of emotion. So if we talk about hope as being the first step out of there, it's a higher level of emotion than absolute despair and anger and resentment. So that we might be experiencing that in relation to our environment, and it shifts us. So it takes us into a shift. However, hope on its own won't get us there. And it won't get us to where we're wanting to be. It is the shifter. So it is the thing that gives us that thing out of in front of us that's like, you know, the carrot or the dreaming. It's that thing. It's the hope of change. So that's the shifter from being in that space of anger or despair or whatever and into that space of action. So it's a precursor to action. So I might hope for something to be, but I have to take the action or actions along the way to make it into a reality. So action is what makes the difference between hope and happening, or at least that's what I was thinking. So if I then relate that thought or that musing around my work and my life in general, I've met so many people who are hoping for a magic pill or a magic wand, like just change it everything with a wave of the wand and create what they desire. And I can definitely count myself in there on many occasions. And I call it the magic pill phenomenon. And I actually manage that word. So people think that if they could have a magic pill or a magic wand, or someone could take the situation away, the person or the thing that is causing them the issue, then everything would be okay and they could be a success, they could be healthy, they could be well, they could be whatever it is. They could have the house if it wasn't because of that they dream about or that they dream of being. However, the conundrum here or the issue here is that they would also be taking away the opportunities to learn and grow through that adventure of all the possibilities that come with going through that actual experience. After all, isn't the saying, there is no failure, only feedback? And if we think of our lives as being the direct, immediate feedback of our next move, then there's no wrong moves. I have definitely learned, and I'm sure many, if not all of you, have learned over the years, that failure in whatever area has often, or at least on occasion, turned out to be a blessing in disguise. So maybe it has been the failure of an exam. I can give you an example of this one. I was in sixth form, which is like year 11. I failed everything. I had to repeat the year. At the end of that year, my mum gave me the option to change schools. So I took her up on it. Very last minute, because I was going to hold out and actually still go back to that school and redo it there. But I made that decision and she got me into this other school last minute where I could redo all of that. So if I hadn't failed that exam, I wouldn't have had the opportunity to go to another school. I then would not have had the opportunity to meet new friends. At the previous school I'd had a year of being bullied and just a really awful year of school. And so that fed into where I was at with my study and my exams and all the rest of that. And I was wagging school and doing all sorts of other stupid stuff. Because it wasn't a cool place to be. So, as I said, that new school came with new experience. It came with new friends. And if I had never failed, I'd never would have experienced that. The next one came with my exit interview from coaching. So we had to do a final exit interview where we actually took somebody through a coaching session. And then that was listened to. And I had spent all this time practicing and some stuff had gone down and it meant that I wasn't in the frame of mind that I needed to be in to go into that session. And you can hear more about that in one of my other podcasts called To Fail or Not to Fail, or Failure or Not Failure, that is the question. It's in there somewhere. I can put a link in this. And it taught me to listen to myself. I learned to listen more to my inner voice and follow my intuition. Not that I do it all the time, but I definitely, when I get that gut feeling of, you know what, this is not the right time to be doing this, and it's an overwhelming gut feeling, I don't go ahead. But I have to look at and address, is that simply because that's bringing something up for me? Or is it a legitimate, like, you know, there's too much stuff going on in my life at the moment and I can't focus on this? And I did smash out the next one. But go and listen to that one if you'd like to know more about it. So, what failures can you think of that if you had been successful, you wouldn't be where you are now? It also might help to stop thinking of them as like this huge sinkhole that we need to go and live in and we sink down into it. And then shift our perspective into them being more like diversions. So for ourselves, like where we really need to be, like forks in the road. So instead of going along and then sinking down into that hole and staying there and like, oh, this was a huge failure, I'm never going to get out of this, I don't know what to do, how can I change this? And living in that space of hope of, oh, I hope this goes away, or I hope this happens or doesn't happen or whatever. And think of them more like forks in the road of, well, I didn't go down that way, but I can maybe still go and get to there coming through this other side. And it takes us to the road that we need to be on. So, for example, I am now working in the area I work in because of the many failures I've had along the way in my life, in my parenting, in my relationships, in my communication, in my work. So without the failures, I would have no experience to base my empathy on, and I couldn't understand where, like from an experiential perspective, how it feels to be where others are at. To be able to sit with them in their space of grief, in their space of joy, in their space of fear or despair or whatever that is. To be able to sit truly with somebody else in that space, you have to have experience. You have to be able to empathize with them. So what a shift in perspective allows me to do, coming back to that perspective thing, the shift in perspective allows me to change how I view failure and acknowledge that some of them have stopped me from taking conscious action in various areas of my life. Those excuses that I have made, or what feels like legitimate reasons to not do something again or at all, and in shifting my perspective, I get to step out of hope and into action or change and begin making a difference in my own life, which, as we all know, spills over and ripples into other areas of our lives, other people, other places. And it goes further than just that, because when we make change, it ripples into other people's lives and their spaces. So when I am working with people around change, there are so many reasons that they come up with not to take action. And honestly, some of them make sense, especially when we've been doing the same thing in the same way, getting the same results. So, and isn't the saying, if something along the lines of, if we always do what we've always done, we'll always get what we always got. Oh, I actually managed it. So the issue with this is that in not taking action, we don't move from where we are. We stay in this eternal pattern of hoping things will change and then wondering, why isn't it working? How could I have changed it? Or how crap we are, or why we can't get ourselves into action or make change. And we just berate ourselves, because that's just even better. You know, have that little voice that tells us how terrible we are and why didn't we do this and what could I have done and I should have and would have and could have and all the rest of it. So the other thing is that we may start to take action, but the outcome isn't happening fast enough. And so we tend to lose motivation. Think of like when you're trying to get fit and you feel so uncomfortable in that space. So you tend to want to just give up on whatever it is that you're trying to achieve because you feel sore and all the rest of it. And then you just relapse into an old way of being because you tried to do too much all at once. And then you become so sore that you can't get up and go and do the walk, go and do the exercise. And so you go back into that old way of being. So it's about taking those small steps along the way. So what we need to be doing is choose one thing to work on when we are at the very beginning of change. One. It only has to be one. It's more than nothing. And it has a cumulative effect. So how often do we want to do something like on a grand scale and then end up not even starting it because it becomes so overwhelming and we just go, oh my God, I don't even know where to start. So it's in the breaking it down into bite-sized pieces. I think they say it's like how to eat an elephant, like one bite at a time. So when something feels really huge, you don't eat the whole thing. You don't stuff the whole thing in your mouth all at once. Take one bite at a time and you make your way through it. So it's in the breaking down into bite-sized steps that we can achieve it in chunks and be consistent in changing that one thing. It's in that, like I was just saying, the cumulative effect of our actions that change comes about, and it is in taking aligned action. And what do I mean by aligned action? Aligned action, well, what it doesn't mean is only taking action when it feels good to do something. Because if we all did that, half of us would never do anything. I know that's true for me. So aligned action, it means making sure that the action is aligned with your vision and having a vision in the first place. So think about having a why. Like, why do you want this thing? Or why do you want to be in this place? Or why do you want to have a partner? And then taking steps towards the vision. It's in doing even some small thing every day or really regularly that accumulates into that bigger change. It's checking in with yourself every day. What is my why? What is my vision? What is at least one small thing that I can be doing to support my vision today? That might be having a day away from your teens. I know that's the case for me sometimes. It might be away from the kids if you've got younger children. It might be away from your partner to reset. It might, you know, when we are giving all the time, and I say this a lot, when we are giving and doing and being for everybody else, sometimes we get into being the person that fixes everything. So we become the person, the fixer for everyone else. And we become the go-to for all their solutions. We become the person who holds the whole mental load. Like, how much do you have going on in your head with the load of everything that you have to remember and facilitate and operate? So we need to stop on our path to our vision and ask this, if this aligns, or how does it align with it? So what is the action that aligns with it? Is doing everything for everyone else supporting myself? Is it even supporting their growth? Could me being unavailable for a bit help them to find some of their own solutions? Because they don't have me to go to. I have what could be called a well-being fail that tested this whole theory when I got really sick. So I got physically unwell, and that affected my mental health. And I ended up booking a flight to go home and stay with my mum for a few weeks while I reset and got back on track. In the meantime, everyone found out exactly what mum does around the house and some of what my mental load consists of. And they all got sick and I wasn't here to look after everybody. So sometimes taking a step back, and I'm not saying you have to take weeks, it could be a day, just step back from it a bit and allow them to find their own solutions a little bit. Ask them, what do you think the solution is? Go and have a think about it. Go and research it so that you're not being the answer all the time. So here's the bit where I tell you that aligned action might actually be some inaction along the way. So I know that as an introvert at heart, and some of you might question that because I can talk now, but that's a whole other thing and how I learned to do that. I need downtime from people. I need to be alone to reset and regulate myself. So for me, if I have been around people and doing or being or listening or whatever, I have to make sure that I plan a day or some time to get off the world and reset and regulate. If I don't do this, the spiral into eating shit and getting sick shows up. And this for me is conscious action. So it makes sure that I can keep taking the aligned actions towards my vision, out of hope and into creation. So the disclaimer here, here's the disclaimer. This is not an invitation to step off the world and not take any action ever. It's a reminder to take care of yourself along the way so that your aligned actions make a positive impact on your vision and not negatively on your well-being. So with that in mind, I'll leave you with some questions. What is your why? Think about, what is your why? What is your hope? What is your vision? And if you had to reverse engineer them into steps to build a staircase to your vision, what would your first step be? Really think about that. What is your why? What is your hope? What is your vision? And if you had to reverse engineer them, as in do it backwards to what the first step is up to the step where you achieve it, what are the steps to build a staircase to your vision? What would your first step be? So I hope this brings you some inspiration and information, if that happens to be what you need, to think about your aligned actions and helps you to consciously move out of hope and into creation. And with mountains and mountains of love from my heart to yours,